That's what this is all about. And if any time ever, we need to pray. So join me as we pray. God, thank you for the fact that you, through Christ, are our sure and steady anchor no matter what else moves in our lives. Even things like technology, it's often out of our control, God. So it's all right. We're going to trust in your word. We're going to trust in you because that's the stuff that doesn't change. So I commit our time together. I pray that it would be helpful, beneficial to help us in our walk with you. And that I pray that it would be something that we not only listen to, but take with us as we leave and move and live as the body of Christ. So we ask this to bring honor and glory to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we started a One Another series. We're going back to the One Another series for a few weeks. The One Another series is about the commands, the One Another commands in the Bible that God has given to us to help us get along better with each other, to be the church for each other, and also to grow in our faith with each other. And we've talked about the fact that these commands are not options, they're commands, thus the word command, and we should be doing them, following them, and they're given to us as a church to fulfill with each other and also with other Christians in other ways. We've talked about bearing with each other. Remember, I don't know if you remember that, that's sometimes you have to put up with people. That's in the Bible. We talked about being kind and compassionate to one another, singing to each other. Good job today. We're supposed to sing to each other. And then we talked about submitting to each other. I want to introduce today's One Another command just a little bit differently to get you started. I am fully aware of all that we've packed in the service and the time, so we're going to move right along, so you just need to stay with me. But I want to just do a quick thing with you to help us get thinking about the One Another command that we're going to look at this morning. So you're going to either raise your hand or grunt. I don't really care. I'm going to give you some preference things. Here's the first one. Go ahead. I prefer beef or fish or neither. How many prefer beef? Fish? Neither. All right, good. Second one. I prefer cats. All right, ushers, can you please note those people? Dogs? Neither. All right. I prefer regular or decaf? Regular? Decaf? Neither. That's me. Next one. Coke? Pepsi? Neither. All right, good for you. Now, you're going to be a little bit frustrated with the slides at times. You can deal with it, right? I guess, you can figure it out. Okay. So this was an exercise in preferences. You said, I prefer this over this. I choose this over this. With me? That's what you just did. And here's the deal. When it comes to things, it's really not that difficult or really not that influential. But when we add people into the equation, it becomes a little bit more complicated, a little bit more delicate. Take your Bibles with me, if you would. Romans chapter 12, if you want to use your pew Bible, it's 790. Romans chapter 12. I'll give you time to go there. Romans chapter 12 introduces just a short phrase, a one another phrase, but it's so powerful, it could really help our church, will help you in your walk with God, it might help you in your interactions with other people as well. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, in the midst of that verse, in Romans 12, 10, there's this little phrase, in the NIV it says this, honor one another. In the King James it says, preferring one another. So honor one another is the same thing as preferring one another. So according to this phrase, which is in the midst of commands, we are commanded by God to prefer one another. That's the command for today, to prefer one another. But before we talk about what this really looks like, let's define it with some terms. The word prefer means to show deference, respect. I think the next word is esteem and regard. So this is kind of a basic meaning of what it means to prefer someone, to show deference, respect, esteem, and regard. This is where I need you to stay right with me. So in the basic dictionary definition of prefer, it would mean something like this. I esteem Jake over Sally. If you look at the definition of the word. I regard Dave over Rick. I prefer Mike Barnes overread. That would be using those definitions. Sorry for those of you that I didn't plan to let you know how you're going to be insulted today. But if I kept doing that, thinking about preferences, it doesn't sound very biblical, does it? Sorry, Sally, you came a long ways, but Jake plays the bass. And unless you've learned in the last few years since I've seen you, I don't think you play the bass, do you? All right, well, too bad. Come back. But it doesn't sound very biblical to do it that way. And as a matter of fact, preferring people over people is actually the easy way out. It really is the easy way out when it comes to this command. So how do we fully understand what this command means? Well, we need to look at the rest of the phrase that Paul writes. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, he writes, honor one another above yourselves. Now it's getting complicated. Prefer one another above yourselves. Paul is saying that the challenge is not about preferring this person. I want you to look up at me. Some of you are still writing. The challenge is not about preferring this person over that person. The challenge is preferring this person over this person. That's the struggle. Let me put it to you this way. Biblical preferring, you can bring up the next slide, is not about picking someone over someone else, but picking someone else over you. Convenient that that's not all on there. It's not about picking someone over someone else. It's about picking someone else over you. That's what it means. And whether it's in the church setting, outside the church, marriage, your home, school, job, work setting, whatever it is, biblical preferring is not easy because it's not about just picking different people. That's not what he's talking about. And I want to tell you that biblical preferring comes with some challenges. It really does. Let me give you some reasons why it's challenging. First of all, preferring can be challenging because it's often inconvenient. I'm always around me. It's much more convenient to prefer me. I don't have to look for me. I'm right here. When I wake up, guess who's there? Me. During the day, when I'm trying to figure out what to do and what I want to do, guess who's always right there? Me. So if I'm looking to prefer other people besides me, it's difficult. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Would you be honest with me and say sometimes it's inconvenient to prefer someone else over yourself? I know you're all so holy and saintful out there, but at times it can be inconvenient. Here's another word. It can be unappreciated. We struggle with it because sometimes we prefer people over ourselves and we don't get a thank you. And it's not appreciated. We're like, well, I'm not doing that again. At least I can say thank you to myself. Hey, got myself a milkshake. Good for you. So here's another challenge. It's often, this may seem harsh, but it's true. You may see often undeserved. The person that you need to prefer, you're like, oh, no. You don't know them. They don't deserve it. Be careful. The one another's don't come with deserving stipulations. And here's a final challenge. It can be time consuming. It's time consuming to prefer other people. You spend your most, I know you may think this is silly, but it isn't. We spend our most time with ourselves. But if you're going to prefer someone else, it takes time. And it consumes your time. There's no way that you and I are going to live out preferring one another biblically if we're not willing to sacrifice some time. So there's some challenges there. And it's not on the screen, it's not in your notes, but here's one final challenge that I deal with all the time. I don't want to. I just don't want to. You with me? You just don't want to. And I'm a pastor. Sometimes, you know, someone emails me or texts me or calls me. I'm like, no. It's never you, by the way. It's someone else. But I struggle with it. I just don't want to. And then I start feeling badly. Like, wow, that's really bad. That's really unspiritual of me. Well, I don't know if you've had the same thoughts, but I do want you to think about it this way. There's good news and bad news when it comes to the fact of you not wanting to do it. Here's the good news. It's not just you. Other people feel the same way. Here's the bad news. It's not just you. Here's perhaps the greatest challenge. Ever since the entrance of sin into this world, our default pronoun choice has been first person singular. This is it. This is a biblical grammar explanation for you. Ever since the entrance of sin into this world, our default pronoun choice has been first person singular. Now you say, Pastor Jay, I hated grammar back in school and I hate it now, so help me out a little bit. Well, here you go. First person singular grammar is this. Subject, the subject is I. The objective is me. So I am the subject of the focus. I am the object of the focus. And then possessive is my and mine. I, me, my, mine. That started right when sin entered the world. Right away. That's our greatest challenge. When it comes to preferring one another, guess what? I, me, my, mine. Let me read some verses for you. Genesis chapter 3. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. That was a lie. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There's the temptation. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Here's what happened. When given the opportunity, Eve picked herself over God. She picked herself over Adam, and Adam did the same thing. So when they had the opportunity to prefer someone else over themselves, they said, "Not going to do it." And ever since that was introduced into the world, guess what? Join the club. That's the challenge that we face. It continues for us today. We battle with the same thoughts today. It's my time, it's my agenda, they're my goals, and it's my life. Now, we don't say that to God, but it comes into our other conversations with people. When God asks us to prefer other people, we say, "Wait, time out, this is my life. These are my goals, this is my time, this is my agenda." And here's the bad news. That struggle will continue till the day you die. But here's the good news. If God gives us a command, we can follow it. So we're not doomed to be people who cannot prefer. We have the ability to do this. I want to give you what I call two steps to jump-starting preferring one another. Because we need to do this. We really do. You say, "Well, churches do this all the time. Everybody does it equally well." That's not true. We struggle with this. Here's some steps to jumpstarting your practice of preferring one another. First of all, don't base your preferring on your feelings. That person could really use some of my time or my attention. I don't feel like it. How many of you have ever thought that? You just don't feel like it. The rest of you need to repent of other things, but that you just don't. So we struggle with that at times. I'm just saying, if you want to jumpstart preferring one another, don't base it on your feelings, because sometimes you won't feel like it. And here's another feeling that we struggle with. Sometimes we do this: "Well, if someone would prefer me first, then I'll prefer other people." No. Don't base your preferring on that option, because people might just go look at you and go, "Eh, I'm not going to do it." And then if you never receive that, then you're never going to do it for somebody else. But here's a second, probably the most powerful way to jumpstart preferring one another. Remind yourself often that preferring one another is gospel-driven. It's gospel-driven. We're a Bible-believing gospel church. It's gospel-driven. That word will come up again if you want to write it down, but I'm going to read some verses for you. It says in Philippians 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Is that talking about preferring other people? Is it? It is. So in your relationship with another, when you're trying to prefer one another, here's what you need to do. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What did he do? In the very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So gospel-driven, Christ is our example. Because can you imagine where you and I would be today if Christ said, it's my time, it's my agenda, my goals, my life? There'd be no cross. He was willing to leave heaven for us. That's what drives preferring one another. It's gospel driven. Here's what the gospel says. The gospel says that Jesus Christ looked at you and looked at me and said, I pick David Van Hoover over me. That's what Christ said. I prefer Dick Gaelic over me. That's what Christ said. That's why he came. That's what should motivate us. We should be doing the same thing. Because Jesus Christ has saved me, I need to look out at you folks and prefer you over myself. And you need to do the same thing. Your spouse, a coworker, a friend. It's very powerful. Because if we don't prefer one another, we are downplaying the value of the gospel. So, what does that look like? We're wrapping this up. I told you we're kind of in high speed today. I want to give you some actions. I call them preferring actions and then applications, because you know that we don't like to just preach the word. We like it to be actually followed out and lived out. And be doers of the word and not hearers only. So here's the first way that you can be preferring each other. Reach out to new people. Reach out to new people. I'm speaking mainly in a church context. Reach out to new people. Here are some of the applications. I put them in your bulletin, but I'm going to read them for you. Sit next to someone new to you next week in church and make the effort to get to know them. Wow. So there's somebody that you, I don't mean they're new to the church necessarily, but they're new to you. You come in next week and you're like, where are we going to sit? I don't know, let's find some new people. Would that be preferring one another? It would. Now some of you are going, I'm not doing it. Just like I'm not singing to each other, I'm not doing it. That's my pew, that's my seat, I'm not doing it, Pastor. Whatever. What would Jesus do, gospel driven? Just saying. Here's another suggestion. Don't rush right out of church. Talk to someone else rather than just yourself. Don't just rush right out of church. Bam, I'm out of here. Reach out to some new people. Here's a second way to prefer each other. Invest time in God's people outside of church. Whoa, wait a second. You're asking for outside church time? Maybe. Will you pick them over you? Here's some suggestions. Identify someone from church and prefer them with a card, an email, a text, a meal, a call, or a visit. Do that during the week. And I wrote in your notes, yes, it will take time, smiley face. But I don't have time. But this is my day. This is my opportunity to pamper myself. And okay, mine. Look for a way outside of church to prefer someone. Here's another application. Attend a church event or serve in a non-Sunday ministry. This is so practical about preferring one another. Here's what I'm talking about. Something comes up, you hear about an event, maybe it's married people or maybe it's soccer camp coming up, and you're like, well, it's not on a Sunday. I know that. You mean you want me to come on a Monday night? Yes. And here's what you're literally doing. If you come to soccer camp and help out, you're saying, I prefer that little runny-nosed 7-year-old over myself. Because guess what? I could stay home. Coach Barnes could stay home. Coach Ferlin could stay home. We have things to do. And it's not that we're better than anybody else, but if we all stay home, guess what's going to happen? No soccer camp. So prefer one another by attending an event or serving in a ministry that's not on Sunday. I'm not trying, I've been here long enough that you know I'm not trying to push you too hard. I'm just saying, if you think that ministry is just coming on a Sunday or serving on a Sunday, there are other people that you can prefer. Other days of the week, it's wide open. Here's a third way you can prefer each other. Be flexible with your daily schedule. Be flexible with daily schedule. How many have like a day timer or a planner that you use or a to-do list? Raise your hand. Okay, a few of you do. How many have stuff on your phone, like on your calendar? Or some of you do that. How many just wing life? That's just the way you go. Okay, good for you. Not too many. So I fully understand. You go to work, you go to school, you have a list, you have to-do lists, you have things, you have appointments, you have all these things, right? You do. I do, you do, that's fine. But I have found what happens is I don't prefer people when I need to because I'm like, it's not on my agenda. I'm sorry, Pam, you didn't make it to my agenda today. Yeah, that goes over well. So here's what happens. We need to pause our daily agenda every once in a while and identify a way to prefer a wife, or kids, a husband, coworker, fellow student, or a teacher, and then just do it. Every once in a while, just pause your daily agenda and say, I need to prefer someone else over myself. I need to pick someone else over myself. And like, I can't do it. It's not on my list. Then put it on your list. And if you don't know what to do, just ask them. Some of the people in your life already have ways that you could prefer them. They have them ready. They're just waiting for you to ask. Last way that you can apply this is be intentional in connecting with people far from God. This is how it works. Ask God for opportunities to prefer people that need Jesus. And then when he gives them to you, which he will, follow through. There's someone in my life right now that I'm trying to build a relationship with and share the gospel with. And so yesterday, had the opportunity to meet with that person for about 2.5 hours. And before that happened, in my mind, I was thinking, beautiful Saturday, lots of stuff to do at my house. Lots of yard work. You know what I'm saying? But God made it very clear. You need to prefer that person and spend some time with them, because they need Jesus. And I would even encourage you, every once in a while, you need to not pick the Christian, pick the non-Christian. Spend some time with them. Prefer one another. I pick, where's Jake? I pick you over you. I prefer Dave. Who did I take out for Dave's sake? Somebody. That's not what this is talking about. It's not one over the other. It's I pick you over me. Joe's going to come, and he's going to close us in prayer. Rudy, you need to get out of here quickly, and we're going to have a baptism. We're going to baptize Rudy right after this. So, Joe, you're going to pray, and then we're going to receive an offering after this. So after the prayer, Jim, if you want to get your guys ready, that would be great.
Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much just for Pastor Jay's message. And Father, just a reminder that we need to change our focus and that we need to focus on your will, Father, and that is putting others above ourselves. Father, help us in the same way that your son laid down his life, that we also may lay down our life for those in our lives around us. Father, that we are willing to just... Father, give up of our time, give up of our comfortability. Father, take some risk, for we are doing it for your name. And Father, that we may love those that you have placed in our lives. And Father, help us to go out this week to be intentional to look for those individuals that we may build into their lives and share with them your love. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.